not be tomorrow.
This in itself should be the very beginning of our day. At least it's a good start. Theoretically, then, we should be able to relax in the knowledge God is, always was, and always will be, and there's nothing else. But something in us won't let us relax in that. We want to discuss that something in a different way than you have ever discussed it before. About 450 years before Jesus was born, a Greek by the name of Democritus in the city of Thrace had an idea that there was a thing called an atom. He called it atomos. Nobody knew much what he was talking about, so he picked up a clod of earth and he shook it around and he said, "Now watch how it dissolves in my hand." Finally, he got down to a grain of sand, and he said, "I can't go any further, because if I do, you won't see what's there." But he said, "Smaller than this grain of sand, there is a substance. And I could keep going smaller and smaller and smaller to a substance that nobody could ever see until I reach a place where there's no smaller substance." He says, "That's the atom. That's atomos." There was a man named Aristotle there. And Aristotle didn't give much credence to this. And so because Aristotle was the big mind of the day, the first glimpse of the atom was lost to mankind until Galileo came along. Now, Galileo is very important in this discussion because he looked out through the earlier telescope and he saw rings around Saturn. He saw four larger moons around Jupiter. He saw mountains on our moon and he saw spots on our sun. And suddenly the world knew that there was something called an outer universe, which they hadn't known till then. And it was just another 100 years when someone looked through a microscope in Holland, a Dutchman, Leeuwenhoek, and he began to see that there is also an inner universe. These little crawling, one-celled animals that nobody suspected existed. And now man discovered that he was surrounded by an inner universe he had never suspected and an outer universe, and he was standing right in between both of them. That was how it began, and from it, Sir Isaac Newton picked up the idea of the atom, but nobody had any proof. It was all conversation. Until they began to measure things. And finally, in the year 1808, there was published the atomic theory. No one knew how that was going to change the universe, and still no one does know. From that atomic theory of John Dalton in 1808, things began to pop. Now they discovered that the atom combines with other atoms, and that became a molecule. They discovered that these combinations became the elements of our earth. And now they knew what an element was. It was a combination of atoms. But they didn't know what was inside the atom. And all this time, no one yet knew about nuclear fission. That remained for someone in France who discovered a worthless metal called uranium. And he discovered a strange thing about uranium. It radioactive It was radioactive, and it sent forth a strange light, a strange energy, a strange power. And this was finally identified by the Curies. In 1903, they discovered that inside radium was an activity of the atom. And this activity of the atom coming through radium, they defined as radioactivity. We're up to 1903, just 66 years ago, when the world learned that radioactivity comes from inside the element, and the element within itself is made of atoms which are nucleating within themselves. No one suspected the amount of energy that was there. Now, Einstein told them how much energy was there. His formula was very simple. If you took a mass of matter and you multiply the size of that mass by light and then multiplied light by itself, you would know how much energy was there. And so what he was saying is that if you took a mass and multiplied it by 3.5 billion, that would tell you the amount of energy in a mass. That would tell you how much energy in every atom, in every element, if you could just determine its size. Now they had the idea of endless energy. From that came chain reaction, splitting of the atom. And finally, Nagasaki. Nuclear weapons today. Now, what is all this about? How does it affect us? Radioactivity, which is confined to the atom, is the activity of the physical body. Science has pinned down the atom as the substance of matter. And they are 50% correct. Because the atom radiates, you can be sure that what you had thought of as your physical body is nothing but a radioactive factory. You are carrying around one of the great radioactive nuclear fission factories in this world. Your body is a complete nuclear fission universe. And that's how it works. The atoms of your body radioacting open out, send forth their particles of light. They are stimulated a certain way, they respond a certain way, and the activity of these radioactive atoms of the physical form become what we have called our bodies. Now, although error is something we wish to eliminate, it must be seen that the odds against us are bordering on something beyond the word fabulous. The very tip of your finger has enough atomic power in it to blow up the world if it were released. Your complete body, this nuclear fission factory, is made up of so many atoms that it's impossible to count them. To give you an idea, if you started to make a necklace, just a 25-inch necklace, and you wanted to put one atom on it, string another atom on it, and another atom on it, to take the atoms of your body and string them on a necklace, 25 inches long would take you day and night 200 years. Science says that if we took the entire atoms of our body and took the air out of them, the empty spaces, that these atoms compress then, and that's all we are physically, would become no bigger than a grain of sand between your fingers. Science says that if you took the entire United States Navy and took out all the empty spaces between the atoms and compressed the atoms together, you could put the whole Navy inside of half of a baseball. But the weight of it would still be the same weight that it is now. The weight is all in the atom. At this moment, you are breathing atoms. Something like every intake of breath takes in approximately 100,000 billion billion atoms per intake of breath. Now then, if you want to estimate the number of atoms of which your body is composed, you would have to get out a slide rule, and you would see that you're talking about quadrillions of quadrillions of quadrillions. And the point of it is that these atoms are all radioactive. That means little particles of light within your physical self are responding to other particles of light. And there's nothing to stop these particles of light of which the body is composed from responding to particles of light in other forms. So that we are all radioactive to each other. And if you will pursue this but a moment further, you will see that these radioactive atoms of the body are little cameras. And each one is photographing the universe around it. Each one is photographing each other unto infinity. For there is nothing to stop them from photographing right through each other unto infinity. And now we have mirrors, all reflecting. And if you go further and further, you find you have one universal radioactive wave. And this is the sum and substance of the physical body of man. You might just as well stand up to a hurricane and defy it as try to come out of this radioactive wave of atoms, which is the substance of the physical forms of man. It's as if you were a television tube, and there you were. What could you do about the pictures coming through you? Absolutely nothing. And so it's important to see that in you, at this moment, is all of the good and all of the evil in this universe. In you, at this moment. It is all there, all embodied, all potential, in the atoms of your body. This is why we are unable to escape the outpicturing of the evils of this world. We are all vibrating atoms, vibrating to and in response to other vibrating atoms, both external to ourself and internal to ourself, as human beings. We are merely clarifying in this moment the nature of the universal error and letting science contribute to that clarification as far as it's able to go. Now here we are then in a state of radioactivity, not knowing it, and through the picture tube which we have become, we are really a picture tube, through us comes radioactive impulses from all around us. There's nothing we can do about it until we awaken from that identity of being a picture tube, a true human antenna. Now, this is the nature of the human era. It really seems strange that we had to wait for science, which is godless, to tell us about it. And so you see that science can be a martyr for God in spite of itself. The chain reaction, which makes possible the activity of missiles and bombs, also takes place in our own human being right now. Every stimulus from outside produces in you a chain reaction in which atoms split open and do things. And so you find that you're really an automaton controlled by circumstances over which you are totally ignorant, and therefore you have no defense against them. This is the nature of every physical form in this earth. Science has gone further. It is said that the atom is the universal substance of all matter, not just human beings, but the animal kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the mineral kingdom. All are atoms. And strangely, this means that an atom becomes a mother, an atom becomes a father. Atoms become people. Atoms become ministers and priests. Atoms become popes and bishops. Now, mind you, what science is telling us, that if all that is matter is composed of the atom, you have just accepted mass atheism. Because if the atom is the substance of all matter on this earth and in the heaven and under the ocean, where is God? Did God create an atom? How could God create an atom? All you have to do is be in Japan in 1945 and watch these atom bombs come down, and if that's God, we better all run for safety. No, God didn't create mass murder in Japan with atom bombs. And God didn't create mass murder with nuclear weapons. And if God didn't create the atom, and the atom is the substance of all there is, why, the atom is the substance of the church. The atom is the substance of every clergyman on the face of the earth. But God didn't create the atom. And so in our acceptance of the atom of science, we have accepted a godless universe. Man does not know he has done this. He has accepted that God is not on the earth or in heaven or in the ocean below. The church has accepted that God is not on earth or in heaven, in the ocean below, when it accepted an atomic universe. And this is why science was only 50% correct. Now, our function is to stand between religion and science and to say to religion, you have brought a godless religion to this world, and to say to science, you have given us a godless world. And neither of you know anything about God. Religion is avalanched by the scientific data that science springs upon it. It has no defense. All it can counter the Darwinian theory with is Adam and Eve. And both are false. The Darwinian theory is merely that instead of man coming out of apes, apes are atoms. Science itself has kicked the Darwinian theory out without knowing it. Apes are atoms. And what came out of these atoms? More atoms. They've made the Darwinian theory obsolete. And both religion and science have misread the Adam and Eve idea, which is to tell us about a mist that enveloped the earth. And science unwittingly has identified that as an atomic mist. The mist of atoms, the radioactive universe of this world, the matter that we call this physical universe, is identified as the radioactivity of the atom. But God, where is God? And that is where the student of the infinite way is able to teach the truth about God. In spite of radioactivity, in spite of the atom, in spite of the ignorance of science and religion, you can bring to this world a unique insight that God is in the midst of this radioactivity, untouched by it. I in the midst of thee am greater than he that walks the face of the earth. Marvel not that you have power over demons, but rather rejoice that your names are writ in heaven. Nothing will defile a man that comes from without, but that which comes from within a man will defile him. If you are living in a radioactive universe as a radioactive combination of atoms, what can come from within you except those pictures that are coming through this radioactivity, and that is what you externalize, just like a picture tube in a TV set. It comes from within you as the false idea of a universal mortal mind coming through the picture tube of your humanhood. And outside, what do you see? That which was within you. Your human consciousness outpictures. We have called all this illusion. You're going to learn it is not illusion. It is part of the plan. Where could you go to invent something as marvelous and useful, which instantly would tell you your conscious and subconscious thoughts as this radioactive plan which is now at work? We simply haven't used it for what it is. Even when we learn that it is a mirage, we're not learning the truth. It is purposeful. Instantly you can see what your consciousness is. And if you're seeing discord, this so-called mirage out here of discord is telling you the discord is in your consciousness. Nothing can defile you from without, but that which comes from within a man defileth. Your thought, whether it be divine or human, determines whether your world is divine or human. And by being a picture tube for the universal mortal mind, you show forth its problems in your experience. Or by being a picture tube for the divine mind, you show forth the allness of God. As you begin feeling a turning within, you can reach a consciousness which can accept the pictures of this world as your thought externalized. And then you'll be glad that you have a radioactive human form here to externalize those thoughts. Because in no other way could you identify the nature of the discords that beset you. This world is the television set. Our human forms and human minds are the picture tube. Not as an analogy, but literally. And when you recognize that, you will become an engineer. You will stand back from that picture tube and watch what it does, and you will become independent of it. Instead of odds which you can never surmount because they're 5 trillion to 1, you will learn the great, wondrous secret of silence. Because in the moment of silence, you are free of the radioactive universe. No radioactivity formed against thee can prosper. Isn't it strange that without identifying atoms and molecules and radioactivity and TV tubes, Jesus could walk right by the complete illusion of the universe and know that the only reason evil appears is because man has not recognized God in the midst of himself. That's what makes us a picture tube. Without recognizing God in the midst of us, we never touch the one substance that is immune to radiation. The one substance that can stand up to all of these flashing mirrors and flash bulbs within us that are constantly exploding and bring them into a total silence instantly. When we are told to resist not evil, to agree with our adversary, we were told that our adversary is the radioactive atomic universe. That the evil are the pictures appearing in this radioactive atomic universe. And when those who had spoken in teachings about vibration told us that when we raised our vibration or lowered it, this happened or that happened, they were speaking about radioactivity without knowing it. For vibration and radioactivity are one and the same. Now suppose you were able to stand here and start spinning a top. And you watched that top spin, and as it spun faster and faster, it became less and less visible to your human sight. All that remained now was a blur. And if you didn't know that was a top made of wood, you wouldn't know it was wood there at all, because all you can see is a spinning blur. Now that's when you spin that top with your hands or even mechanically. Now suppose you could spin that top 100 times faster. Would it not disappear out of sight? Could it not be there spinning and you not see it at all? So with your Christ body. At a different level above this radioactive vibration of the world, but right here, your Christ body. Now suppose that top was spinning so fast that just as it was out of your vision, it was also out of the radius in which you could feel it, so that your capacity for touch simply could not even touch that top. Can you conceive that? That there could be a vibration so far beyond your capacity for touch that you could not touch it even though it was there. You could walk through that top. Again, that is possible. And around you at the moment is life that you're unaware of for just that very reason. In this radioactive universe that we walk in as human beings, a very strange phenomena is happening. Go back to your top and see it this way. Suppose you spin it, and now you can see it spinning. If you could spin yourself at the same speed as that top, it would be standing still. You would both be spinning at the same speed, but to each other, you'd be standing still. And that's how you and I see each other right now. We're spinning at the same speed. We are both radioactive substance, but we're at almost the identical vibration. And so in spite of the incredible movement of the picture called my form, your form is moving at that same speed, and so we see each other almost standing still. Just enough variation in our speeds to give us the illusion of motion. the illusion of time and the illusion of space. If you can see this world in suspension, because all is vibrating at almost the same speed, you're catching the illusion of the world. A fantastic speed, but all moving at the same speed, with just enough variation to create a universe that we call the visible world. Truly, there is this to feel in your consciousness, and then to see how he hangeth the earth on nothing. But even though in this vibratory universe is the good and evil, right in the midst of it, behind it and above it, where it stands is the allness of the perfection of your spiritual selfhood, independent of the total vibrating radioactive universe of atoms around us. And when you have one moment of stillness, that peace that you find is the absence of the radioactivity of the atomic world. Science has stumbled into an explanation of the nature of error while they were trying to explain the nature of the material universe, which they think is the only world there is. They have pierced the bubble of the world that is not. They are proving Christ. They are the martyr through which the Spirit of God is going to become manifest in the experience of man. Agree with thine adversary. What does that mean? It means that this radioactive universe is nothing to fight. How are you going to win? How can you fight this immense radioactive force of the universe? How can you resist it? You saw the awesome power of it in Japan. You see the awesome power of it so that it has created forms that have no reality in God. Fight it? Why? The nature of God is allness. And the moment you are fighting this world and the problems in it, you are saying God is not allness. And so in spiritual living, the secret, of course, is to accept that in the third dimension, all this that science says does happen. But what about the fourth dimension? What about the dimension of spirit? What if we go right through that atom and come out on the other side in the spiritual universe? And that is what you do in consciousness, and you come to the evidence of things unseen. All of the pictures of this world become to you nothing more than a vast television screen. And your control of that television screen is in the fourth dimension of consciousness when you dwell, abide, move, and live, and have your being in the Father within. Then you have an engineer controlling the world of illusion. It is a very significant moment in your experience when you sense the picture universe around you and feel in the midst of it my peace. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My peace, which transcends the pictures of the world while you are standing in the midst of them. Before you is a tiger. It growls and it snarls, and its claws are long and sharp. Science says it's made of atoms. Does a scientist who says that intend to get in the same cage with those atoms? What is that tiger made of? It's made of the same substance as the human being who's looking at the tiger. They're both made of atoms. And what are they? They are retroactive radiations. One is a vibrating composite of atoms, another is a vibrating composite of atoms, and they are radioactive, and they are vibrating against each other. The only reason you see evil in this world, which is a vibration of atoms, is because your physical self is a vibration of atoms. Like will see like. It is your false identity that puts you on the same level as the vibrating radioactive universe. You cannot control it, but you can control you. And that's where the work is done. You must step out of the false identity, the false role of being a radioactive atom and accepting the verdict of science that that's what you are. You must reject that verdict. If you are a radiating atom, you're nothing more than part of the total chain reaction of good and evil of this universe. The teaching of Jesus is, I and the Father are one, not I and this radioactive universe. And if I and the Father are one, then the radioactive universe, which claims me as its member, is falsely identifying me. And if I accepted it when I was helpless as an infant, I am no longer that infant. And now I can reject the false label that the world has placed upon me. I and the Father are one. And therefore, because God did not make atoms and I and the Father are one, I am not an atom. And I am not made of atoms. You will discover that the atom is the thought in the false universal mortal mind. That's what an atom is. That's its identity. It's as if you were in a state of thought and you were trying to name the quality of your thought. What is it? Well, you could say it's an idea. The fabric of my thought is the idea that I have. It would be very difficult to find a name for that fabric other than my thought. The universal mortal mind thought is composed of a substance which was not made by God and therefore has no reality, and that substance is the atom, which science thinks is the substance of all that exists. The atom is separated from itself. Nothing in God's universe is separated. The atom changes. It splits open. The atom is self-destructing. Nothing in God's universe is self-destructing. Nothing changes. Nothing splits open. Nothing deteriorates. And nothing commits murder. The atom is universal thought. And that universal thought becomes the substance of the world of man, outpicturing itself as the good and the evil of our universe. And now you have your false universe. To step out of being an atom is to step out of the false universe. To accept the Christ as the substance of your being is to accept the evidence of things unseen until you have the full consciousness of the Christ. And then the Christ, witnessing the universe of the Father instead of the universe of the atom, pierces the illusion for you, outpicturing only itself. And you find yourself free of good and evil, free of false powers, needing no protection against these powers. For where are they? They're just pictures coming out of the false picture tube of human existence. This must come home not as a metaphor, a simile, a way of describing things, but these are the words that are trying to express the unreality and the reality in such a way that we can see the false personality and the real one, the false self, the changing self, at the mercy of the thought beliefs of the universe, and the real self, which is God expressing as what we will call Christ. I had a woman write me. Her question was, why does the Bible tell of the second coming of Christ with angels and trumpets, when in one of your lessons it says there is no second coming of Christ? I know your lesson says, how can that which is already here come here again? But this doesn't satisfy me. How should the passage in the Bible then be interpreted? And what is your authority that Christ never left this earth? Now, this is a human consciousness speaking, asking, what is my authority that Christ never left this earth? And my authority is Christ. The authority is the phrase of Jesus stating, I can never leave thee or forsake thee. I am with thee always, even unto the end of the earth. Jesus had already been identified as the Christ, the Spirit of God that indwells man, and that Christ is saying, I can never leave thee. So certainly we don't look for a second coming of it. If it can never leave us, it is never gone. But there is another meaning. The second coming of the Christ actually means this. There was a time when we were all Christ conscious. You knew yourself to be the Christ. And then there was a time when we were sent forth and had spiritual amnesia and forgot our identity, and that's called the lost years of the locusts, when we lost our Christ consciousness. And the second time, when you become aware of the Christhood of your being, that will be the second coming of the Christ. Not that the Christ has ever left, but we have lost our awareness of our Christhood, and when we regain that awareness, that is the second coming of the Christ. Why with angels and trumpets? Of course, literally, if you think of it that way, you expect to see angels and trumpets. And you will, but no one else will see them, because they won't be outside here for the world to see. These are the angels and trumpets that come to you in your new Christ consciousness within. Christ consciousness, then, is the awareness of reality while the human form stands in the midst of an atomic universe that God did not create. These pictures, even with their power to drop bombs and rain destruction and a mass murder, become no more valid to you in Christ consciousness than your own TV set is to your human consciousness. The proportion is about the same. It is truly possible to look at the destruction of the world in Christ consciousness and know that because it is not of God, it is not there. If this were not so, then omnipresence would be a farce. It would have no meaning whatsoever. Could God be there and mass murder too? It is only in your Christ consciousness that you will see mass murder could never occur. You can see it even intellectually now. The understanding that God and mass murder cannot possibly coexist. And so we're seeing the illusion in its momentity to realize that we cannot overcome an illusion. We cannot strike forth and kill the dragon. Our way to overcome the illusion is simply to know it is so. We know the mirage is mirage. We resist not the mirage. That is agreeing with the adversary. And so the only protection we really need, the only protection we can ever have, is the correct identity of our own being. When we will honor not the creature called the atomic man, but the creator who never created an atomic man, we will be loving God supremely, and we will rest in the knowledge that the presence of God is the only protection I need or anyone in this world needs. His grace is my sufficiency in all things. I have meat the world knows not of. I have meat that man, the atom, knows not of. That meat is that my name is Spirit. There is no atom bomb or atom of any kind in this universe that can even make contact with Spirit, let alone mutilate it or destroy it. In the presence of spiritual consciousness, the atom is exposed as non-real. And so the scientist who discovers atoms is exposed as non-real because he is made of atoms, he thinks, whereas his true substance is spirit. The preacher who accepts himself to be a man of atoms is vainly seeking God. In fact, that's how religion came about. Man lost identity. Now he accepted a false identity, and in his falseness, his sense of apartness from God, he naturally was subject to other powers. And to free himself from these other powers, he sought God. And that's how religion came into being. Only by the false identity of man was there a need for religion. The false identity is what sought God. The true identity doesn't seek God, it is God. The Christ doesn't seek God. I and the Father are one. That's why Jesus started no religion. What religion could the Christ start when it already is the Church of God? So I guess you might call today's subject the radioactive man and the real man. The Son of God or the false radioactive man of Earth, which science thinks it has discovered. Now, in the midst of all this is you, the Son of God, the child not born of a mother or a father who is made of radioactive atoms. And so we're told, leave mother and father for my sake. Oh, how clear that becomes. Leave that image of radioactive atoms that you have called mother and father. And leave your own physical body of radioactive atoms which you have called yourself. That is a pawn in a universal mortal mind. And what a pleasure it is to die to that. How fortunate we are that we're given a key that can turn and open the way to a true, real substance called spirit, which is immune to all of man's foolish theories and conjecturings and speculations. A spirit that is immune to every disease the earth has ever invented. A spirit that will never know the meaning of death. Now, when you have a problem, then, you are looking at vibrating atoms, and the reason you are seeing them is because you have accepted yourself to be vibrating atoms. And the only thing vibrating atoms can do is continue to vibrate in response to other vibrating atoms. They're both snapping photos of each other constantly. And that's the hypnotism into which we are sucked up as human vibrating atoms or physical bodies. But in our flesh we shall know God. Henceforth know ye no man after the vibrating atom called flesh. Find yourself by slowly accepting the peace of the silence of the vibrating mind. Like a cloak, you draw around yourself the mantle of spirit. You rest that vibrating mind. And lo and behold, when you cease to be a vibrating piece of protoplasm, all of the vibrations and the radioactivities of this world go right by you without touching you in the slightest. They can be thunderstorms and lightnings. They can be virus. They can be accidents. They can be insecurities. They can be uncertainties. They can be fear. But they find no home in the non-vibrating you. In the stillness of that mind, you have become that place on earth which glorifies not the falseness of the world of mammon, but the reality of your Father. Where you are shines forth that which is the activity and expression and law of the Spirit of God. You are an oasis in the midst of the desert called humanhood. The whole history of the atom, from way back in Thrace of Greece, up to the moment when man discovered the great energy that could be liberated by releasing it from inside the atom. All of this was already taking place in your human body long before man discovered it. This is what we were doing. We were radioactive physical beings. And nuclear fission had taken place in your body from the moment of birth to this moment. Science was merely imitating what the false human body already was imitating. They were putting their finger on the problem and not discovering a great discovery. And now, as we become free of the problem, we will discover that we can now turn the problem into an asset. The minute I see you in pain, I know your problem. If I didn't see you in pain, I wouldn't know your problem. Nor would you. But when you're in pain, your problem is that something inside you is still part of this radioactive universe. There is a place in you which is not silent. And it is responding. And that response to your adversary, instead of the ability to agree with it, that response is your pain. That response in you which is not silence becomes your problem in the outer world. Every problem in the outer world is your response to invisible radioactivity. And so you've got to take this whole being into custody and come to terms with it. You've got to redeem it. You've got to reconcile it. You've got to teach it. You've got to come over it into a place where you are feeling a spiritual selfhood. Not a vibration, but a non-vibrating spiritual selfhood. totally independent of all that is in the mind of man. You're stepping forth out of vibration into stillness, into the silence that thunders. Because in that thundering silence, the infinity of your being is made manifest. Never have we had the full explanation of the fullness of error so that we could know that there's no percentage in fighting it in the slightest. You cannot win. Now, to walk in the midst of this in an inner silence is to snatch the falsity of the universe out from its persuasive influence upon your being. That's how you dehypnotize. At this very instant, unless there is a silence within you, the world is hypnotizing you. At this very instant, things can be happening in you of which you are unaware, which will later become visible as a physical or mental or emotional problem, and the seed of it is in the lack of silence within you, stopping the radiation of the world. Men who think they are dying out there because of radioactivity or exposure to it are unaware that they have already died because of exposure to inner radioactivity. That which is happening in the outer world is but the evidence of what we have all been going through in the mental world. We are all victims of radioactivity already. And now we are to be our own physicians by turning to the Christ. The only self that is immune. It took 2,000 years for this to become a manifest thing in science, and all this was but a fleeting second of knowledge in the Christ. That little tiny seed of knowing is becoming manifest today as science. And it has not even brushed the surface of that tiny seed yet. And your identity is really that tiny seed. Now we have the problem somewhat defined, and maybe we can spend the second half unraveling the methods by which we will outwit the problem and even outwit the unseen.